Well, I've now moved from Jerusalem and I'm living in Bethlehem. And it's great to be living in Bethlehem, the place where our Savior was born. I have a neighbor, and every day he just sits there in his garden with his sheep, just nicely sitting there with his sheep. And I went up to speak to him. He speaks Arabic, so I didn't understand a word he said. But I think I've managed to work out his sheep is called Dolly. And a very nice, friendly sheep. And got my camera and took a selfie with it. And it's very, very nice. And just to be able to sit there in your garden with your sheep is a real, real blessing indeed. And my neighbors also bringing sheep across my door path as well. Just seeing little lambs just coming past. It's a real, real blessing to be able to live in Bethlehem. And just down the road, a few miles away, is the area where the sheep were bred for the temple, to be sacrificed in the temple. And that's where Bethlehem was known for that, where the sheep were bred to be sacrificed to the temple. And it's where the angels came and spoke on that holy night, saying a Savior has been born who would die for the sins of the world. I'm still going into the schools in Bethlehem, in Jerusalem area. It's a real blessing to be able to do that. One of the schools is called Hope School. There's a young lad there. He wants to convert me to Orthodoxy. So he's an Orthodox Christian, very much in the strong Orthodox tradition. It's the right way to go. Everything else is wrong. You need to be an Orthodoxy. It needs to be something that you have in your life. And it doesn't really matter what brand we are, as long as we know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And this is what we try to tell him. You know, nothing else makes any difference. It's whether you know Jesus has forgiven you of your sins. And if you die tonight, will you go to heaven? That's the most important thing. And we share that in the schools. Some of them are from a Muslim background. Some of them are from a Christian background. Some of them are Orthodox Christian, Catholic Christian. So we want to speak into their lives and share with them. King's Kids is doing very, very well. I had spent a little bit of time doing some driving for King's Kids, bringing kids from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. We're not doing it now because we're not bringing them anymore, but we were bringing them into Jerusalem so they could get some more of the Word of God and have a time of praise and learn to dance as well. We also had a memorial service for Nabil. I was asked to lead that. So it was a real joy just to be able to do that. Difficult time, but it was just so wonderful because here's some Israelis that were coming. One of my friends, he came all the way from Eilat, which is a four-hour bus drive, just to be at the memorial service of Nabil. And he was Israeli. Nabil, of course, was Palestinian. And then after the service, he went straight back down to Eilat again. And you don't see things like that on the news. And just, you know, Israelis weeping over their Palestinian brother in Jesus. And it was a great, great time. It was a celebration of life, really. Because it was a celebration of just his life. And I was able to tell funny stories because he used to wind me up something rotten. So there's many, many stories that I could tell. One time he went round Bethlehem and he realized there was wire hanging off the telegraph poles. So he thought, if I chop them off, I could sell it for scrap. So he was doing that. And then he suddenly realized the police were looking for someone who was stealing all this extra wire off the telegraph poles. And he found some wire on the ground and he cut it. And it was a live electrical wire. And I can imagine when he got to the gates of heaven, the first thing he'd be thinking is, how much can I get these for scrap? So it was a blessed time. We managed to raise about £2,000 for his family. So we thank you for all those people who from here who gave. Many, many people gave. And that was able to help his family. We were able to pay for 6 months of rent, 6 months water, electricity, buy them a new washing machine, help them to move house. So it was a really, really big blessing for the family to help them through this very, very difficult time. We do have a little bit of money left, so when I go back to Israel, we'll be giving them the rest of the money, helping them with either the rent or water, electricity and things like that. So thank you very much for all those people who did give to help with the family of Nabil. And it speaks to his brothers that people from around the world want to help this family. And his mother, we don't know where his mother is at, whether she's Muslim, whether she's Christian, what she believes. But we pray that this will speak into her life, that people are willing to help this family and speak into their lives as well. So that's been a real blessing. I've been able to go out and do many, many more interviews. I was in a press conference just recently with Tony Blair, and I got to ask him a question, and he was quite surprised, because like, what is this English guy doing in a Palestinian press conference? And he came over to talk to me afterwards. And I was able to share with him. We're starting a community Christian radio station here in Bethlehem. And then again, after, oh, can I get a selfie? And we took a selfie together. So that was a lot of fun. Also as well, I got the chance to interview Canon Andrew White. If you know the Vicar of Baghdad, that's who he is. He was in Bethlehem, so we interviewed him. Unfortunately, he's not allowed to go back into Iraq at the moment because the situation is dangerous. The Anglican Church won't let him go back into Iraq. So he's living in Bethlehem, and he's bringing reconciliation between Palestinians and Israelis. So he's doing a very, very good job indeed, speaking into the lives of Palestinians and Israelis. And that's what we want to see, reconciliation between the two. Also got a great opportunity to interview a member of the Israeli parliament, the Knesset. So the Knesset would be the equivalent of Westminster. And so it was a rabbi, Rabbi Dov Lipman. I went to the Knesset. The interview was actually in the Knesset. So I got there and I went to the desk and told them who I was. And my name wasn't on the computer. And if your name's not on the computer, you're not getting in. And I'm like, but it must be on the computer. And it's just like heaven. If your name isn't in the book, you're not getting in. And they phoned through and phoned the secretary, and it was a mistake. And I was able to go through and do the interview in the end. And it was a great interview. He was talking about the relationship between Jews and Christians, because there's a very, very good relationship at the moment between Jews and Christians, because Christians are really, really helping the Jewish people get back to the land. And of course, at the moment, they're seeing the persecution. The Jews are seeing the persecution that they've faced over the years as now transferred in part over to the Christians with what we're seeing in the Middle East. So we were able to talk about that. We were able to talk about anti-Semitism, because anti-Semitism seems to be rising. And then as well, he spoke about his grandmother, who went through the Holocaust. She went to Auschwitz. All the rest of her family were taken away into the gas chambers. And she was the only one out of all the family who survived. And just told the terrible story. And he said that she was still alive today. And in a few weeks' time, they were going to have a wedding for their great-great-granddaughter. And you look and you see one person was saved, and there's a family line. Many of them were destroyed and the family line was wiped out. So just a real joy to be able to do some of these interviews. All three of them are actually on the Cross Rhythms website if you want to read them. They're also onto YouTube if you want to watch them, listen to them. You just go put Bethlehem Voice and you'll find my page there and you'll be able to listen to those. We've been visiting a young lad called Jairus. Jairus is working for us now in the radio because we need a translator. Every Sunday night I go and visit him and encourage him. He's a Christian. Don't quite know where he is in his faith, but we encourage him and share with him and talk with him about various different things, just to encourage him in his walk with the Lord. And he's translating all the stuff that we have. We have a website in Stoke-on-Trent with all our Christian music on it and articles and things like that written about different CDs. All that needs to be translated into Arabic and put onto our website in Bethlehem. There's a lot of work there, and he's the one that's doing that, so we're paying him to do that. So that's a blessing for him that he's able to raise extra money for his family and for himself. He also translates brand new articles that I've written. Nabil used to translate my articles, and I used to give him a piece of paper. This is the article. He'd translate it, he'd record it, and he'd give it me back as an audio. And now we've got Jairus is doing that. He writes the articles into Arabic. He gives me them back. And I've realized now that when we've got something as a digital copy, we're able to put it onto our website when the website is ready. So every week we're able to print a Bible devotion and put them onto our website, as well as have an audio copy as well. And some of the articles that we've written is about throwing stones. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Because if I throw a stone at you, you're going to throw that stone back at me. So shouldn't we rather forgive? Now, Bethlehem is a Palestinian town, and Rachel's tomb is run by the Israelis, and it's right in Bethlehem. So whenever there's trouble, whenever there's a problem, the Palestinians go to Rachel's tomb, and they start throwing stones, and they throw the stones, and they throw petrol bombs at Rachel's tomb. Then the Israeli soldiers open their door, they come out with their guns, with their rubber bullets, and with their tear gas, and they start firing it at the Palestinians. And there's a sense of cat and mouse being played out. And just recently, in the last 2 weeks, the Israeli army went into one of the refugee camps in Bethlehem. They started throwing stones, and one of the young lads was shot and killed. And he was only 19 years of age. And it's just so sad to see a life that has been wasted because he was throwing stones. So we're writing to reach into the community about these issues. Also, as well, we wrote an article about suicide with the whole issue that happened with Nabil. We wanted to speak right into that. You know, if you're struggling, if you're dealing with issues, then find somebody to talk to. Share those issues, because that's the best thing to do. And we'd done one about pornography as well. And then afterwards, I found out that the Palestinian area is the fourth highest watcher of pornography on the internet. Quite surprising. And then we've been doing some stuff about horoscopes, because many, many people get involved in the horoscopes. They seem to love the horoscopes in the Arab community. So we've been doing that. And we have a young boy now. He's the voice to the radio work that we do. He's 17 years of age. And he comes and he records the devotions that have been translated from English into Arabic. And he comes and sits in the studio, and I have to have two things. I need to have some Cadbury's eggs, and I need to have a packet of Oreos. And he's very, very happy. And we record them, we pay him, and we go off to KFC, and we have a great time together. And he loves a girl who's about 21 years of age, and he's 17. And in Arab culture, you don't, as a guy, you don't go out with a girl older than you. You have to be older. And she's like, well, you're older than me and all this. And he loves her. And he's coming to me, what should I do? And I'm like, I don't have a clue what to do. So I'm trying to give him advice, you know. And, you know, be careful, you know, because don't let your heart go further than you know that the woman is wanting to commit. So if this girl is saying, yeah, I want to go out with you, then you can actually let your heart go a little bit further. But if she's saying, no, then don't allow your heart to go further, because you will get hurt. So we're trying to explain these things to me. Should I talk to her? Do you think I should talk to her? Well, I said, if you're going to get hurt and it's going to cause you a problem, then don't talk to her. But if you know that you're going to be okay, then it's not a problem to talk to her. But just be careful. Don't let your heart go further. Otherwise, you will get hurt. So we're trying to give him all this advice that we can. It seems weird, a single guy giving advice about girls. So it's funny. So he comes to my house a lot with his brother, and also Nabil's brothers come to my house. I really felt that if Nabil could ask me today, he would say, look after my brothers. So that's what we've been doing. So all four of them come to my house. We have video nights. We have games night. We've been playing pool. We've been going out bowling. And then we've been doing paintballing, where they give you the rubber bullets with paint in it, and you go around shooting everybody. And I'm not sure whether that's a good idea, but teaching Palestinians how to shoot. But it's been a lot of fun anyways, trying. And we've had a lot of fun doing that. So that's been a real blessing. Pray for Nabil's brothers, because they've also been coming to me, asking me questions. They want to know about Nabil, what about suicide, what about these things. And we've just been able to share with them, it's about God's grace. It doesn't although I don't agree with suicide and I know it's wrong, it's not how we die, it's whether we believe in Jesus. It's whether we're saved. And although Nabil struggled in his faith, he was a believer in Jesus. He knew Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So we know where he is today. He's in heaven. Not because he was a good guy, not because he'd done great things, but it's about grace. I'm not a good guy. I do things bad. I do things wrong. It's not about me, it's about God's grace. It's about the grace of God coming into our lives, taking our sins away, and we know we're going to heaven when we die, because we can have assurance of heaven with that. So that's been good. And I met one of my neighbors in Bethlehem, and I think we were talking about this subject, about Nabil and the grace, you know, it's all about grace. And he just said, you know, I need to hear this. I need to hear about the grace of God. And he knew that within his life, he was going the wrong way. He's a model, he's a male model, and he's also a DJ, so he's out on a Saturday night till 4 o'clock in the morning DJing. It's a difficult environment because it's you know, there's alcohol, there's girls and all these things, and he knew he was making wrong choices in his life. So I was able to give him practical advice, and he needed to be in church, and I knew he couldn't go to church because he's a DJing till 4 o'clock in the morning. So there's no way at 10 o'clock in the next day he's going to be in church. So I said, I will send you a message whenever I can, nearly every week. So nearly every week when I can, I send him a message by a guy called Adrian Rogers from America. And I send him one of those messages. He's a Baptist minister. And he speaks into the needs of people's lives. And this young lad, Jerry's, came back to me and said, I love the messages that you send to me every week. And I've just seen, sometimes he's put things on Facebook, you know, God is blessing me today. And, you know, just seeing something that's touching his life and touching his heart. So we pray that they would speak into his life. There's also another lady that we visit called Haneen. She is a Muslim, and she used to work with me and Nabil in the radio station. And I think I'm right in saying that she struggled with the thoughts of suicide before Nabil died. But then when Nabil died, she's found it extremely difficult indeed. And then now, at the moment, her husband, she's only about 24, 25, her husband has a tumor on his brain. So she's finding that very difficult to go through. So we go and we meet her, we talk with her, and I say, I'll be praying for you and encourage her that I'm praying for her. We gave her a Bible, and she loved it, and she's been reading it. And she has some questions from that, which hopefully in the future we'll be able to meet up and just discuss some of those questions that she has. She was the only person in Bethlehem when I went back that I told that Nabil was a Christian. And I said to her, you know, Nabil knew Jesus as his Savior. He knew his sins were forgiven. And I know that he's in heaven today, not because he was a good guy, but because his sins are forgiven. And we were able to share with her and bring her some comfort. And we're encouraging her that she would know the same thing. And I have a feeling that maybe she's already become a believer already. So just pray that God would continue to speak into this young Muslim's life. It was great to be in Bethlehem for Christmas. I spent Christmas Eve in Bethlehem. The scouts are marching through Bethlehem. There are carol songs being sung, and then there's the mass at 12 o'clock midnight. And I went out and I was giving out Jesus DVDs and children's books, but I was doing them dressed as Scooby-Doo. I have this big Scooby-Doo costume, and kids, parents would come to me, oh, can my child have a photograph with Scooby-Doo? And then, yeah, come here. And they'd take a photograph, and then I was able to give them a Jesus video. And it was a great way of doing evangelism. Actually, when I walk through Bethlehem now, people don't shout Paul, they shout Scooby-Doo, and I'm looking around, yeah. So it was a great time. Even when I was giving out the leaflets, the kids were coming up and they were pulling my tail, and I'm like, get off my tail. But it was a lot of fun that we're just to be able to do evangelism and share the real meaning of Christmas. It's not about the tree. It's not about the presents. It's about Jesus, our Savior, born in this little city of Bethlehem. So that was a great opportunity to just be able to do that. Also as well, Nabil set up an organization called Power Production, which has a radio station, does documentary programs. But what they were also doing was Power Helps, where they would go out into the community and help the community. So they were helping with painting houses and renovating houses, going to be a clown and things like that. So Power Production is now run by a great guy called Suleiman. He is from a Christian background. There are Muslims and Christians working together. So they invited me, come as Scooby-Doo and come to the children's home. So over Christmas time, we were able to go to the children's home dressed as Scooby-Doo and just to play with the kids. And the scouts came as well, bringing chocolates and presents for the kids. So it was just a real joy to be able to do that. We got our permission to stay for another year in Israel. It's a joy to receive permission so that when I know that I get back to passport control, I'm not praying for half an hour before I go through. I know I've got my visa. I'm going to get through, and we're back for another year. The radio work is doing really, really well. In a week or two's time, it will be 7 years that we've been doing the radio show. 7 years. It's amazing. And every week, we pay $100 to put the radio show on. And if you start working that out, how much money we've paid over those 7 years, it's a lot of money. Some of it was $60, and then it went up to $100. But it's a lot of money when you start working it out. But God has paid every bill, and we've paid the money. So it's just a blessing to see how God stretches your faith. And it's been going out for 7 years and paying all that money. The radio station is just about ready. They sent the equipment from Stoke-on-Trent to Ashdod. We needed permission to get the stuff through the Israeli customs. They wouldn't accept my passport. So we have got a friend called Ivan who's been working with us a lot on this. Sent them his ID as a Palestinian. So that came through. They went through all the security check. It went through the Ministry of Communications. And then it came to Bethlehem. And I left to come home early because my mum was ill. Sadly, she died this week. But we brought the equipment through into Bethlehem. And it's there in Bethlehem for when I get back. So once we get back to Bethlehem, we'll be opening up the crate. We'll be setting it all up. And the station will be starting. So God has been good and blessed us. And we've been doing great things in working on that. We've been building a foundation for the radio station. So we've been giving out leaflets. But what we've been trying to do is find 50 partners who will partner with us in the work that we're doing so that we can pay some of the bills, like the rental bill, the electricity, the internet bill. So we've got some leaflets at the back if you're interested. This tells you a little bit more about pioneering with the work that we're doing on the back table. If you'd like to know more about the radio work, we have 40 emails a year that we send out. So I write those emails, and it just tells you about the radio work that we're doing in Bethlehem. So if you'd like to receive one of them, you can fill in one of these forms and put your email address, and we will send you some emails and keep you up to date with all the radio work that we're doing. And also as well at the back, we've got a few bits and pieces, little bits of wood. Some of it is the wood that the disabled kids have been making. Then I gave it to Nabil, and Nabil put it together. So there's still a little bit left of that. And also as well, we've got a CD at the back. Nabil gave me a few interviews over these years, and we've put them on a CD for people to listen to. And he talks about his father's testimony, how he came from a Muslim background to a believer in Jesus. He talks about Power Production, which is the production company that he set up, his vision for the production company. He talks about a Palestinian state, but also as well, he talks about Islam. He done about 20, 25-minute interview about Islam, what Muslims believe and how they think, and that's on there as well. And it's a very important time that we know about Islam and understand what Islam, what Muslims believe. So that's on there as well. And we charge £4 for these, and the money from it goes towards Power Production, which was his vision and his dream. And this is just a way to bless the Christians and the Muslims that are working in Power Production. And we can go back and say, you know, we raise this money through the churches of England to help you guys and pay a little bit of money towards the rent, because the production company was running from Nabil's bedroom. So then sadly, when he died, everything was taken down and they moved the studio into brand new facilities. So they've got to pay rent for that and everything. So just a little bit of a way to bless them as well. Today, we are living in dangerous times. As we see fundamental Islam rising up, we're seeing it everywhere. Al-Shabaab in Somalia, Boko Haram in Nigeria, they kidnap those children and they try to marry them off to jihadis. And we're seeing that happen in ISIS is in Iraq and Syria. Just this morning on the 10 o'clock news, I heard that in Pakistan, that two churches were bombed in Pakistan and people were killed there. And it's a new group, a new organization that I've never heard before that were doing the bombing. And then we've got Hamas and Hezbollah fighting against Israel. So it's a worrying time for people. And it's a scary time, particularly in Bethlehem. You know, some of the Christian community is getting very, very worried. There was an ISIS cell in Hebron, which isn't very far away. It's about 30 minutes away from Hebron, from Bethlehem. You know, and if you start getting an ISIS cell in Bethlehem, it's going to be very, very worrying for the Christians. It's a concerning time for me as a Westerner, because who are they going to go for? They're going to go for the Westerner, because that's who they've been chopping the heads off. And I'm a prime candidate to losing my head. So it's a very, very worrying time and a very difficult time to be living in somewhere like Bethlehem. I've always said, though, that ISIS from Syria could never really get into Israel. Israel has probably got the third large best army in the world, and Israel will be the Palestinians' best friend against ISIS. And it really is true. So there maybe isn't too much worry, but it is a concerning time for the Christian community who live in Bethlehem. Will this come into Bethlehem? So it's a worrying time for there, but it's also a worrying time for here, for Europe. What Israel has been facing for years, we're actually now seeing on the streets of Europe. It's a worrying time when you saw the things that happened in France and saw the things that happened in Denmark. It's a scary time. But as Christians, it's our time to shine. We can shine as the darkness gets darker and darker and darker. Jesus came and he's a better way. And Jesus was a man of peace. And there is nothing to confuse about Jesus' words. Jesus said, love your enemy. Love your enemy. There's nothing to confuse about that. Love your enemy. We're supposed to love people. And sometimes I don't like to love people. Sometimes there are people who you just want to kill. My brother came to stay with us for the last week. He's been doing my head in. I can't believe it. You know, it's like I put some frozen peas into a frying pan, into a cooking pan, and I put it on the gas. And I don't put the gas on, but I leave it because I'll cook it later. And then I come back in the kitchen 5 minutes later. It's been taken out of the frying pan, put in a plastic container and in the microwave because he interferes. And I'm like, you know, we've got a funeral on Wednesday with my mom. And I'm like, we're going to have a second funeral if he doesn't stop leaving me alone. And it, you know, but Jesus says we're supposed to love our enemy. And how do you love people that irritate you and annoy you? It's very, very difficult. But there's nothing to confuse about Jesus' words. It says, love your enemy. It doesn't say, love those who love you back. It says, love your enemy. I can't confuse it. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. There is no get-out clause in these words. I have to love. The words speak about love, love, love. There's no way of getting out of it. Jesus calls each and every one of us as believers to love. And what's happening with ISIS and things like that is a big problem for the Muslims today, because they see what ISIS is doing, and I put blog onto Facebook and have conversations with Muslims. And they say, no, Islam is a peaceful religion. We believe in peace. We believe in tolerance. Okay, then go home and tell your parents you become a Christian. You will find out that it isn't a peaceful religion, that it isn't tolerant, because you're not allowed to change your religion. The Quran says if you change your religion, you should die. That is their holy book that is saying that. So let's turn today to the Quran. I bet you didn't expect to be reading the Quran tonight. 8 verse 12 says this, I will instill terror into the hearts of the unbelievers. That's you and me. Smite ye above their necks and smite all their fingertips off. That's what it says. And 47 verse 4, therefore, when you meet the unbelievers, strike off all their heads at length, which is what they've been doing. Then when we have made the wide slaughter among them, carefully tie up the remaining captives. That's what they believe. And if ISIS was to come to Penrith tonight, they would come into Penrith and they would come to you guys and they'd say, you either convert and become a Muslim, or you pay a tax to become a... You can still stay a Christian, but you pay a tax. If you will not pay the tax, you will die. The Quran says, if the Jew and the Christian doesn't pay the tax, they should die. That is what the Quran says. Who is a better way? Jesus is a better way. Jesus speaks love. Jesus' words brought life and they brought healing. Jesus said to the crippled man, get up and walk. It brought life to his legs. It brought healing to his legs. And he got up and he walked. The blind man, be healed. And his eyes were opened and he could see. And it brought healing. It was the words of Jesus that spoke to his eyes, and his eyes could see. Then there was his ear, the man who was deaf. He put his fingers in his ears. He said, be healed. And the man could hear again. He could hear all the noise. Jesus brought healing through his words. And then, of course, the word became flesh. Jesus was there in creation as well. Jesus spoke into being everything that we see in creation. And you look at the trees today, just look at all the different trees that we have. Just the other day, I went to the freezer and found some food, and I started to cook it. It was some salmon that my dad had got cheap at the co-op. And started to cook it, and I said to my dad, you know, if I was in Bethlehem today, I could have gone into the garden and got some lemons off the lemon tree. And I look in my garden, we've got an orange tree, we've got a pomegranate tree, we've got a date tree, we've got a mango tree, we've got a fig tree, all these different trees. It's not just God created one tree, he created all kinds of different trees. And it's amazing what God created. Then there's the flowers. We used to live on the farm in Welton and we moved into Carlisle, so we like to go for a walk down by the river. And it's interesting because there's a footpath down by the river, which used to be our old land. And my dad always used to say, look at these people, they're walking over our land. And he used to complain about them. Well, now we've sold the land, we're the ones that are walking by the river. And going. But you could see all the flowers. And we saw some snowdrops. You look at the snowdrops, how beautiful they are. They look beautiful. But nobody tells them to come up. They just come up all by themselves. And I think flowers must be women, because they do it all by themselves. If they were men, we'd have to be prodded and say, no, it's time to go, time to get up. But they just come up. They're not connected to a USB drive, and you click a mouse and they pop up. They just do it all by themselves. And the daffodils are going to come out. Then a few weeks later, they will die. But next year, they will do exactly the same thing. They will come up and they will come out. The wonders of creation. They do it all by themselves. They know the exact time of the year to come up and to come out. It is the wonders of creation. And then there's all the animals and the birds that God has created. Wonderful, wonderful. My friend Elias in Bethlehem, he said to me, he got permission to go to Israel. So he said, I want to go to the zoo. So we went to the zoo and we're looking at the animals and we went and the bear wasn't there. I'm like, where's the bear? And then we wanted to find the tiger, and we couldn't find the tiger. I said, this is a zoo, where's the tiger? And when we found him at the top, he was sunbathing. Then we went round and we were doing all things, checking all the animals. We saw the lions, we saw the elephants and the giraffes. We went to compare the meerkat, very nice as well. They were very nice. All these different animals that God created. It's just wonderful to see what God has created. And all of this was spoken by God's word. God spoke it into being. And of course, the word became flesh and the word dwelt amongst us. God left all his divinity and he came down to earth as a man. Jesus came and he touched people's hearts and he touched people's lives. And it was God's word that spoke into people's lives and changed and transferred people's lives. And what did we do? We killed him. The one that could give us life was the one that we killed. And it just shows the evil and the wickedness of man's heart. Because we have a need. We're in pain and we're suffering. Last week I just had a tooth out and they pulled the wisdom tooth out. And it was painful, you know. And I needed healing, you know. You know, we all need healing through various different ways. Yet we killed the one who was the author of life. It just shows the evil and wickedness of man's heart. There's the story about the goose that lays the golden egg. Every morning, the goose lays a golden egg. And can you imagine that? You get a golden egg every morning. It's like, my goodness. You put it there, and then there's another one. Next morning, another golden egg. And you think, it's not going to be long before we're millionaires, and you can live the life of luxury, and you can dream about all the things that you really, really wanted to buy. Then they think to themselves, hang on a second. This chicken must be full of eggs. So if we kill it, we can get all the eggs out. So they kill it, and there's nothing there. How stupid. This was providing for you gold every morning, and you kill it, and there's nothing there because you became greedy. And this is what we've done to Jesus. We killed the one that could give us life. It was part of God's plan, but it just goes to show how evil and wicked man's heart is, that we would kill the one that brought us life. We need to know God's word. We need to get into God's word. God's word is there for us. If you want today, if you want to know God's heart, get into God's word and you'll know his heart. Know his word and you'll know his heart. If you can imagine, I was getting married and I wanted to buy my wife a nice diamond necklace. So I go to the auction mart and it's £500,000, £1,000,000. £1,500,000, and I bid £2,000,000 for this beautiful diamond necklace. And it looks beautiful. It's huge. And it looks really nice. And I give it to my wife, and she's like, oh, I love you. It's so nice. And then she takes it off, and she puts it in the safe, and she closes the safe door, and she doesn't take it out of there for a year. And I'm like, I paid £2 million for that. It's stuck in a cupboard. You've got it stuck in the safe. I can't even see the beauty of it anymore. You never wear it. I'd be like, no, you need to wear it every day. I've paid for that. You know. But how much are we exactly the same with God's word, the Bible? We leave it on a shelf and it's worth more than gold and silver and diamonds. Yet we leave it on the shelf to collect dust. Yet it's got value and it's got worth. We put it in a cupboard and we never get it out. We need to get it into our hearts and get it into our lives. We need to get to know it. And use it because there are difficult times ahead of us. You know, fundamental Islam is rising up. And it's even more important now that we know the word of God. That we know what we believe. Otherwise we'll be dragged with the crowd. We need to know what God is saying in these difficult times. I interviewed a member of the Knesset a few weeks ago. And he said to me, whenever there's a vacuum, fundamental Islam always takes over. Israel was in southern Lebanon. And they withdrew from southern Lebanon. And what happened? Islam came in. Fundamental Islam came in and took over. Hezbollah are there. They have their rockets from Iran. And they fire rockets into Israel. And it started a war. Israel ended up going to war. They were in there and then they left. And then suddenly they're having a war with fundamental Islam. Islam took over. And then we have Hamas as well. Hamas in Gaza. The Jewish people were told, you need to get out of Gaza for peace. They were living in Gaza. They were told, get out for peace. The whole world told them to get out for peace. And it was a sense of politically correct ethnic cleansing. Can you imagine telling a minority group in Penrith, you need to get out of Penrith. Go. We don't want you here. Yet this is what we told the Jewish people. Get out for peace. And of course, they did get out. And what happened? Hamas took over. They have their rockets from Iran in Gaza. They're firing them into Israel all the time. And just because it's not on the news doesn't mean it isn't happening. It's happening all the time. You have 15 seconds to get into a bomb shelter if you live very close to the Gaza border. We had rockets coming into Jerusalem last year. The siren would go off and it's like, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I don't even know where my bomb shelter is. And it's a very, very difficult time. Fundamental Islam took over. Hamas took over. And today we see in Britain there is a spiritual vacuum and Islam is taking over. Basically, the church doesn't know what it believes anymore. And we don't care. And you look and you say, oh, well, we need to be tolerant. We need to tolerate everybody. We need to love everybody and tolerate everybody. Well, no, actually, we don't. You know, yes, we should have a sense of tolerance, but there are things that the Bible says is wrong. And if the Bible says it's wrong, I'm going to say it's wrong. I don't, you know, God gives us free will. If you want to go and do that, that's up to you. But I'm going to stand on God's word in the Bible because the Bible says it's wrong. I'm not going to say that I hate you. I still love you, but I disagree. And we should be able to stand up and say, I disagree, without being knocked down. But today the church is basically, oh, we agree with everything. We want to keep happy, happy, happy. And it's very, very sad. There is a spiritual vacuum in the nation of England. And today Islam is taking over. And it will take over big and strong unless we deal with it. And we see in the Bible what happened in the Old Testament. Israel would do evil in the eyes of the Lord. So what would God do? He would send the Philistines. And it was God sending the Philistines to come and attack them. And they would attack their food and attack their women. And then they would cry out to the Lord and the Lord would bring a deliverer. That deliverer would come up and attack the Philistines and the Philistines would go back to their place. And they would follow God for a while. And then suddenly they would start get back into their own worship and their own idols and everything. And then God would say, hang on. And he would get the Philistines to come and attack them again. And the circle would go on. And all the way through the Old Testament, it says, Israel done evil in the eyes of the Lord. And he used the Philistines many, many times to attack Israel. And perhaps that's what God is doing today to the UK. Perhaps God is sending fundamental Islam over to us because we don't care anymore. We don't know what we believe. So God is trying to wake the church up and we need to pray that God would rise people up within the church to stand and to make a stand so that fundamental Islam doesn't take over. You know, this is what we need to see. Today everybody criticizes Israel for defending herself. And we're actually told to boycott Israel. There are movements now where we're told to boycott Israel. God has made promises to the nation of Israel. It's part of God's promises. And we're told, and it comes from Bethlehem as well. We've got the Bible College, we've got the Holy Land Trust, and they say we should boycott Israel for what they do to the Palestinian people. And these are Christian leaders that are saying we should boycott Israel. It's in Greenbelt, a Christian organization, and predominantly the evangelical churches have been pro-Israel because we know that God has made promises to the Jewish people. Well, now there are churches that say, no, God has forgotten about his promises to the Jewish people. He's replaced Israel with the church. So Israel doesn't, you know, God's forgotten about Israel. So now we need to boycott them because of what they're doing. The Bible doesn't say that. What was God's word? What did Jesus say? Love your enemy. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who persecute you. So today, if you feel that Israel is your enemy, the Bible tells me I should bless Israel. I should bless them. I should buy their goods and bless them because that's what Jesus says I should do. Not boycott. And I say this with some of the boys that we go out with. If we go out, oh, we need to buy Palestinian orange juice because, you know, we want to boycott Israel. I'm going to say, no. We want to buy Palestinian orange juice because we want to bless our own economy, because we want to bless the Palestinian people. We're not doing it because we hate Israel. There's a difference. And it's about attitude. You know. But if there's no Palestinian juice, we'll go and buy Israeli juice so we can bless the Israelis as well, because Jesus commands us to bless our enemy and to love our enemy as well. The attitude is completely different. And we need to have the attitude where we want to bless our enemies. But God has made promises to the Jewish people. And God is bringing them back to the land. And we see it happening all the time. From the north and the south and the east and the west. The nation of Israel is a fulfillment of prophecy. God hasn't forgotten about his people. God's word is being fulfilled. The Bible is a book that we can trust. You know, in the 1920s, there was the Balfour Declaration. The Balfour Declaration was a white paper that said, we want to create a homeland for the Jewish people. And we believe that Palestine should be the homeland for the Jewish people. Now, these were MPs that were sitting in Westminster. They were Bible-believing MPs. And they thought to themselves, for Jesus to return and the Bible prophecies to be fulfilled, the Jews have to be in the land. They have to be in Palestine. So if we recommend this paper that the Jews go back to Palestine, then Jesus can return. And that's what they were thinking. That was their whole motivation to writing this white paper. And of course it came about. The white paper was fulfilled. We broke some of the promises that were in the white paper. But the nation of Israel became a nation because of Bible-believing Christians in this nation. Today, do we have Bible-believing Christians in as MPs standing up for the Bible, standing up for the Word of God? Sadly, we don't. It would never happen today. But the nation of Israel was created because of the Word of God, because of the promises of God. God is fulfilling His Word. Jeremiah 16, verse 16 says this, "Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall fish them. And afterwards I will send for them many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill out of the holes in rocks." What is God saying? God is saying, I will send fishermen out. So people like Bible-believing Christians, I will send them out to Ethiopia. And we'll send aeroplanes down there, and we will look for Jewish people. And we will fill that aeroplane full of Jewish people, and we will send them back to the Holy Land. And they will live in Israel again, because that's what the Bible says. So we'll go up to Russia when communism fell, and we'll go around the ports of Odessa, and we'll look for Jewish people. And we'll say, no, you need to be back in the land. And we will fish them out of the land and bring them back to the nation of Israel, because that's what God's Word, the Bible, says. And that's what Christians have been doing over the years, looking for Jewish people and sending them back to Israel. God has been fishing them out. So over the last years, God has been fulfilling His Word. God has been fulfilling His prophecies and bringing the Jewish people back to Israel. Then it says, I will send the hunters. What is God saying? The hunters are out now. We saw it in Paris and we saw it in Denmark. God is sending the hunters out. Fundamental Islam is going out and it's going to chase the Jewish people back to their homeland because they're going to get scared. And the Jewish people need to recognize this and they need to go back now because they can go back now being hunted, but with their goods. Or they can go back and run for their life and maybe save their life, but actually not have anything with them. And God is beginning to do something. God is using fundamental Islam to send the Jewish people back to their homeland, back to their lands. God is fulfilling His Word in our very days. And that's what we're seeing when we see Islam rising up on the streets of Europe. We're seeing God fulfilling His words because He's sending the hunters out to scare the Jewish people back to their land. And that's what's happening. Today, in some ways, it's crazy because God is using Islam to fulfill His prophecies and fulfill His words. When you see it happening, you can say, amen, God is fulfilling His words. When you see what's happening with ISIS, you know, the Bible says they will kill you in the name of God, thinking they're doing God a favor. They stand there and shout, Allah Akbar, and then they cut the people's heads off. It's exactly what the Bible said they would do. So why are we surprised when we see these things happening on the streets? The Bible said this would happen. If it didn't happen, it would mean the Bible is not correct. But the Bible is true. God's Word is becoming flesh, and we're seeing it in our day, and we're seeing it in our generation. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. And in some ways, this is actually going to cause a problem for the Muslim. Because when anti-Semitism causes the Jew to flee, well, where are they going to go? They're going to go to Israel. So now Palestinians are saying, this is terrible because now more Jews are going to come to Israel and we want Israel for a homeland. So what happened in Paris the other week, that wasn't Muslim. That was a Jewish conspiracy. It was the Jews because it scares the Jews back to their homeland. And we're seeing now, you know, I'm sure many, many Jews in Paris are scared. We've seen anti-Semitism on the rise. If you look, some of the cemeteries have had swastikas put onto their graves. And I watched Sky News just recently, and it had a Jewish person from Britain says they don't feel safe anymore. And they've been scared to go back to their homeland. God is fulfilling His word. He sent the fishermen, and now He's sending the hunters. It just seems to me that Islam would far sooner believe a lie than the truth. Today, we have the truth. We know that Jesus is a better way. We know that Jesus' words brought truth, they brought life, and they brought healing. And we need to get into God's word. We need to know God's word. If we don't know the truth, we'll believe a lie. Get into God's word and know God's word so that we can stand solid and strong on his foundation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you love us. And we do pray, Father, that we would get to know God's word more and more in our hearts and in our lives. And we pray, Father, in these difficult days that we would recognize the hour that we're living in and that we would pray for Jewish people to go back to the land and not only go back to the land but find their Messiah. We pray, Father, for Muslim people, Father. You love Muslim people. You love the Muslims. And we pray, Lord God, that they would get out of this evil regime and that they would find Jesus as their Messiah and Lord. And we pray, Father, for believers particularly in Bethlehem who live in fear, that they would stand up and shine for Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.